This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Welcome to the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Jim Goodis. The labor shortage is making it a good time to negotiate while considering a new job, as multiple offers could be coming your way, and we'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the report on housing starts is out while we're hearing from the former president of the Kansas City Federal Reserve. And to talk about all that, we're joined by Diane Swonk, the chief economist at Grant Thornton here in Chicago. So first, Diane, your take on the housing start numbers.
Well, we saw some weakness, but really due to shortages, hurricanes, and all the residual effects of all the backlogs we're seeing out there. Many home builders, we're seeing home builder attitudes really soar as high-end buyers are continuing to build to suit on their homes and buying properties up ahead of time. And we're also seeing that multifamily sector, the demand very strong as people realize they can't buy up single-family homes. They're being forced to rent, and so they're building multifamily homes in areas that didn't used to have them, moving from the urban centers into suburbs and further out areas because of a lack of housing that's available out there.
So what should we be looking for down the road in terms of housing? More of this, or are we going to see any kind of swing back to more traditional building, that sort of thing?
Well, sadly, I think we're going to take a while to work through the backlogs that we've got. That's good news for builders, but also hard on builders because they'd like to finish homes quicker than they can right now, given the backlogs they're facing. I think what we're going to see going forward is the Fed is poised to taper its asset purchases in its November meeting. November 3rd is when we expect that to occur, and that could push nudge mortgage rates even higher. Even though they're very low levels of mortgage rates, a small change in mortgage rates, talking to a home builder from the National Association for Home Builders recently, he let me know that even a 40 basis point move, less than a 0.5% move in mortgage rates, was enough to derail the underlying demand for certainly of first-time home buyers that we've unleashed with the pandemic. So that leaves only wealthy buyers out there. That's fine for wealthy buyers, but it's not great for the overall economy.
You mentioned the Fed, and we've heard from the former president of the Kansas City Federal Reserve. What was said, and why is it important?
Well, I think what's important right now is there's a lot of concern about whether or not inflation will linger. Is the inflation that we're having episodic? Is it something that we can work through in 2022 quickly, or is it something that will take longer, like 2023 or 2024, to work its way out? My own view is that the risks are to the upside on inflation and growth to the downside because of shortages. That doesn't mean it's stagflation, but it does up the risk. My concern is that the Fed will be put in a position of having to prevent a more persistent inflation when maybe one will or will not. It's not clear that we'll get it persisting into 2023, but 2023 is too long for the Fed to wait. So I think we're going to see a more aggressive Fed as we move into 2022 and the hawks flock and within the ranks of the Federal Reserve as we move towards the turn of the year.
That's Diane Swonk, the chief economist at Grant Thornton here in Chicago. As always, Diane, thank you for your perspective.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's currently a job seeker's market, meaning there could be multiple offers on the table. And let's get some strategic help from Rick Cobb, the founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern here in Chicago. So, Rick, it used to be that you'd be lucky if you got one job offer. Now you could be facing multiple job offers. How do you approach that, and what's the best way to make it work best for you?
Sure. Well, in 33 years, I don't know that I've ever had anybody complain about having too many job offers. So that's really not a problem. And I think people need to look at that. So if you have multiple opportunities, typically they are coming out They have their own life expectancy and their lifespan. If you don't have a signed offer that you've signed and the future employer has signed, you have nothing. And up until the time that you're sitting at your new desk, you really should be looking and continuing to look. And employers will understand that. And if they don't, then perhaps they're not the right organization for you to be pursuing. But you pursue each one of them not like you're selling yourself. What you're really thinking about is you're seeking a long-term relationship, if you want to use the dating analogy. So you're not going to get married on the first date. These things take time in order for them to work well. And that's really the way you have to go at it. You can stall. I think the stalls should really be placed in sort of a rational process. I think less is more. Giving a long explanation for why you need more time involving I'm seeing a bunch of other companies and I want to finish this process. There's no value add there other than if the company is worried about you going off the market, they'll ask, are you talking to anybody else? It's much better to be able to say at that point, yes, I am, but I'm really interested in this conversation. And so your delay tactics typically should be around more information, perhaps an opportunity to speak with some of the people that do the work in the organization. If you're not speaking with the actual hiring manager yet, it's not an offer. And then I think the best thing to think about is until you get actually the signed agreement accepted and done, even to the point of the day that you show up at the office, you can continue to have conversations with other companies. So it's not like, oh, well, I've said yes to them, and so now I have to stop looking.
And is that a big issue, Rick, that a lot of people think, you know, once they've said yes, they're kind of locked in when, in fact, they still have some options? And if they end up going with that employer, it may be beneficial if they know you're talking to other people.
Sure. Well, let's face it. We hate this. There are very few people who like going out and going on interviews. And if you're interested in a long-term relationship, most people don't like to date nonstop. And the payoffs are different. So, yeah, people will take any excuse they can. Most of us, there are some exceptions, but most of us will take any excuse we can to get out of the market. The other caution I give you, Jim, is you need somebody in your corner. And I don't know that your spouse or partner is always the best choice because they have their own agenda. Hopefully they're mutual, but somebody who's experienced in business who you can bounce stuff off of. Because the other problem is sometimes you get a great offer and you're sort of like that person who got list on their house and you think, well, maybe I'll leave it on the market and see if somebody wants to pay more. Sometimes a great offer is the best offer you're going to get. And if it's the first one is the best offer, you need someone to help you think that through so you don't walk past it.
That's Rick Cobb, the founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern here in Chicago. Thanks, Rick, as always.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A new credit card is targeting a very specific group of consumers, high-earning young people. And let's learn more from Matt Schultz, the chief credit analyst at LendingTree in Austin, Texas. So, Matt, what's all this about?
Well, this card is called the X1 card, and it's aiming at folks who really want kind of premium perks and higher credit limits without necessarily having to have perfect credit scores. And it's interesting because even though you still have to have your credit checked in order to get approved for the card links to a user's bank account to help them determine what the credit limit is, instead of just basing it on your credit score. So that's an interesting change.
Is it kind of a hybrid debit credit card in a way? It gives you this solid foundation of a bank account banking it up, but at the same time, it is a credit card, so therefore you're building your credit. Is that how this kind of works?
Well, no, it's a credit card. From what I understand, it's a credit card that is using that link to the bank account as kind of another addition to your credit profile. So it's seeing how much money that you have in the bank account and saying, okay, this person's got a fair amount of money in their bank account. They're probably okay handling a higher credit limit, as opposed to a debit card, which is directly tied to that bank account.
So who would you say this is for, and who would you say it's not necessarily for?
Well, it's interesting. It's for people who might be looking for a higher credit limit because they have a lot of extra spending. We've seen that it's become popular among kind of the tech community because some of the folks involved are some pretty big Silicon Valley folks, people involved in PayPal and Affirm and some places like that. But generally speaking, for the average person who's just looking to get cash back, or some rewards that can help them extend their budget a little bit, this may not be the card for them.
That's Matt Schultz, the chief credit analyst at LendingTree out of Austin, Texas. Thanks, Matt, as always, for some great tips.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Stocks trading higher, and we're joined by Michael Palumbo, the founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. So, Michael, what's happening on Wall Street today and why?
Well, we've got a rally going on again, and I really think this one, you know, you always try to find a reason behind it. It's just the fact that earnings have started out outstanding, and the market knows next week we've got tech earnings, and they generally do well in this, and they have been for many years, and especially in this environment. So there's no reason really to sell off right now. Bond yields are ticking up. That's probably the one scare. We know inflation's out there, but if bond yields stay in check here, and I'm talking about 10-year yields, I think right now they're 1.63%. That's still pretty low. And if they remain under 2, we've got a great environment for more stock price appreciation and asset appreciation in general.
Now, talking about tech, Apple announcing its new processors yesterday, you know, Google unveiling its Pixel today, Samsung coming out with some news tomorrow. Is this news that should make people who are looking at the tech sector optimistic, or is there any reason for concern as these companies are coming out with their new products this week?
Well, I've looked at what's come out so far, and there's nothing to be concerned about. Certainly, you look at Apple has competition, but in the high end
hardware space for phones. I mean, they're the gold standard. So, and as long as they continue to innovate, they should be fine. So I'm not concerned about Apple. Apple is fairly cheap here, as it's had come back a little bit from its all-time highs. So, you know, we like the tech sector. We like Apple in particular. And we really like AMD, which I've been on the show as a stock picker, and we advocated it back in June when it was in the 70s and 80s. Now it's trading 117. So, you know, you've got a 50% rise, but we still think there's more to go in that name. So we like that, especially in the tech sector. But, you know, there's no real reason right now for a sell-off. I think the one thing to keep an eye on is 10-year yields, and if they spike, and because there definitely is inflation numbers that are much worse than people are expecting, but if they spike, that could cause the party to end for a while. But right now they look like they're going to continue to be benign.
Michael Palumbo, the founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Thanks, Michael.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday, sponsored by DiscoverPeoria.com and Chicago-headquartered United Airlines, unveiling ambitious plans for expansion. And let's learn more from Joe Schwederman, the professor of public services and the director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul. So what's up with United, Joe?
You know, it's been a swirling week for aviation. We've had rising fuel prices that have said fourth quarter is going to be a little tough for airlines. And United, you know, comes out of the box with some pretty ambitious leisure route expansions next summer, and are saying, summer 2022 may set a new record in transatlantic traffic. So they're gearing up.
And is this more for the leisure traveler, or is this also looking at perhaps more business travelers taking to the skies?
It looks like it's mostly leisure dominated. And destinations we're looking at here are, you know, blue chip European destinations, especially. And here in Chicago, we're probably going to get new nonstop service, for example, from Chicago to Zurich, new route to Milan, and then a whole array of services out of Newark, which is their biggest international gateway, which a lot of Chicago traffic funnels through. And that'll, you know, include Berlin, some destinations in Asia as well, and Rome. So I think they're anticipating some pent-up demand translating into some high-yield business traffic, pleasure traffic, really starting about May.
So what does this say for other carriers? Is this specific to United, or are there other carriers that we might be seeing something similar from?
Well, we've seen United have this stance before. It's interesting. When things start to look good, they're often first out of the gate with bullish plans for expansion. And sometimes Wall Street applauds it. Sometimes it makes Wall Street nervous. So I think here, what we're seeing is the long-awaited kind of reconfiguring of international with the changing realities, how people travel. And safer destinations. Europe, of course, is open again. So I do think, especially the two big competitors, Delta and American, are probably going to do something similar, but I expect them maybe a little more cautious than what United just announced here.
That's Joe Schwederman, the professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University here in Chicago. Joe, always great to talk to you on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Shares of U.S. Bitcoin-linked exchange-traded fund are now being traded, and let's get the latest from Bill Ulivere, the owner of Senecal Capital Management out of Glenview. So explain this, and what's it all about?
Well, in the spirit of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, today, October 19th, 2021, is a day which will live in infamy. So today, the ProShares exchange-traded fund sponsor launched an ETF. The symbol is BITO, and the performance is linked to the performance of the Bitcoin futures traded at the Chicago Mercantile Group. So the fund, the exchange-traded fund, does not directly invest in Bitcoin, but it's a way for retail investors to own an exchange-traded fund in their IRA or their 401k, and it's easily a way to get performance to Bitcoin. Now, the annual expense ratio is 0.95%. Now, this is really exciting because this is the first Bitcoin ETF that was, quote unquote, approved by the SEC. And I suspect by this time next year, we'll have at least a dozen or more ETFs on Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. Because, Jim, you know, we have 2,430 exchange-traded funds already listed. And this is a whole new parallel financial system that's being built and created. So I suspect by the time we have this conversation in a few more years, there are going to be thousands of ETFs, each one with its own like sector fund where you can invest in Web 3.0, 5G networks, gaming, decentralized finance. Everything has to do with cryptocurrency or digital assets.
So it sounds more like it's not really a date that will live in infamy, but something that's exciting for investors.
It is. It is, because maybe 5 or 6 years, 6 years ago, Grayscale Investment Trust came out with like a closed-end grantor trust. So it was a way to get a partial ownership of Bitcoin, of the spot token. But, you know, it had an unusual regulatory structure. And they just filed also today to the SEC to convert this grantor trust to an ETF. Now, Grayscale already has $40 billion of assets under management and owns about 3.5% of the world's Bitcoin, which is scales larger than the ETF that's trading today with maybe 20 or 30 million of assets under management. So, you know, cryptocurrency has been legitimized by Wall Street. Not that anybody who has been in cryptocurrency for the last 5 years even cares what Wall Street thinks, but it is an important day for both cryptocurrency lovers and for Wall Street.
That's Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. Thanks, Bill. As always, it's great to have you on the show. More information at senecalcapital.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.